at Tuesday night revival meeting, God touched my heart with salvation. That's the touch I'll never forget. Touched me many times, will continue to touch me many times, but it's that day that makes a difference and made a difference in my life. Can I say today, if you're here today, you never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, amen, you could be a part of that bunch, amen.
Amen.
Amen. They will say, somebody touched me on a Sunday. Amen. Lord, convict your heart and amen. And come today and accept Him, the Lord of your life. Amen. This could be the day that you could say, that's the day the Lord touched me. Amen. All right. Turn your Bible just for a little while. Turn your Bible just a little while. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. I will read just two verses and bring to you a thought we'd like the Lord would have it to bring to you today. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. I can pronounce that right, Deuteronomy. Is that right? All right, Deuteronomy. All right, you ain't the only one to have trouble in things, amen? All right, Deuteronomy chapter number 10, verse number 12 through verse number 13, the Word of God says this. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep his commandments of the Lord, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Father, I pray right now that you touch upon this message, upon the messenger. God, apply it to the heart of each and every one out there in the congregation, each one that's listening by way of Facebook, each one that may hear this message by way of sermon audio. Father, may you reach down. God, take this precious word, apply it to each heart of each and every one. God, that it comes in contact with, that it may do what need to be done in their life. Father, we thank you, praise you. What are you about to do? This yesterday night, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to look to this passage of Scripture here, just two verses. I want to sort of recap what's going on here. Moses, in this passage of Scripture, chapter in Deuteronomy, chapter number 10, was recapping what God had done for the children of Israel in bringing them out of Egyptian bondage. Many of you know that the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage, and, amen, God spoke to Moses to bring them out. Here we find out, toward the latter part of Moses' life, he began to recap what God had done for the children, bringing them out of Egyptian bondage. He reminded them of what God had done in Mount Sinai, and also what the children of Israel had done in rebelling against God and building the golden calf. We find out in chapter number 10, he tells God about giving him the Ten Commandments the second time. Verses 1 through 5, he begins to tell about the laws of God. Verses 7 through 10, he tells about the laws of Israel for Israel when Aaron died. Verses 8 and 9, he tells of the Lord separating the Levites for the service of the temple. Verses 10 and 11, you'll find out he tells of the leader of Israel, which was himself, speaking of Moses, which was himself what God had commanded him to do. But we look at verse 12 and 13, we see the Lord of Israel, the Lord of God, telling Israel what God required of them. I want you to look at it. I know he's speaking of the children of Israel here, but we also can apply them to our life today to help us in what God requires in our lives. Now, I want to preach upon that thought this morning, God be my helper. Amen. What doth the Lord require? What doth the Lord require? I know in our life as individuals, amen, those of us that get up and, amen, most of us in this room do, and go to work each and every day, we are required, amen, to do some things that our employer requires of us. First of all, we're required to be there on time. Amen, we're required, amen, to do our job. We're required to work, amen, and do what we're supposed to do. So we are familiar with what are doing the things that are required of us. But can I say, spiritually, that does hold true even more so. There are some things, Brother Perry, that God requires of you and I. Amen. It's very simple things if we'll just simply do them. Amen. God can allow those things that He requires of us and desires of us. If we'll walk and do those things, God can touch us in a way we cannot even begin to comprehend. Find out that's exactly what He wanted to do for the children of Israel. Many times the children of Israel begin to walk in their own ways, begin to do their own things. Did not do what God required of them, and because of that, they had to suffer the judgment or the judgment of God. Can I say, many times in my Christian life, I find myself, amen, not doing what God wanted me to do and doing my own thing, and because of that, I had to face the consequences. I want you to look at verse right quick, like it won't take us long. The Bible said in verse number 12, Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee? The question is asked again. What doth the Lord thy God require thee? There are five major requirements for the Israelites in this scripture we find here. First of all, hey man, he said, amen, what doth the Lord require, thy God require thee is to fear the Lord. In other words, a compliant to discover. In other words, what he wants him to understand, the most important thing that you need to understand, you need to learn what it is to fear God. Amen. Can I say today, the Bible says over in the Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse number 28 and verse number 29, the Bible says this, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Then he says this, for our God is a consuming fire. In other words, the fear he's talking about is that reverence and the godly fear. In other words, you say, preacher, why do we, if we're to fear God? Hey, it's talking about a reverential fear. In other words, doing what we're told to do, realizing if we don't, we'll suffer the consequence of that disobedience. Many of you know, growing up in a home that, hey man, me, moms and daddies, and I grew up in a home that, hey man, still had a belt. And you've already heard me say, hey man, they knew how to use it and knew how to use it the right way, in a loving manner. But, hey man, I loved my dad. Boy, I love being around Dad. Love listening to Dad. Love sitting talking to Dad. I want to tell you something, Miss Nancy. When I didn't do what I was supposed to do, I learned what it was to fear God. Seemed like he was God sometimes, even when he was thinking for that thing. It was the fear of my dad. It was that reverential fear. I loved my parents. I loved my dad, my mom. But also it was that fear of what he would do. Hey man, the correction he would bring upon me if I didn't do what he told me to do. Hey man, it was that fear that I had of my dad. That is that fear that God's talking about here to the children of Israel. It is that reverential fear. Who realized that he is a God, hey man, to be obeyed. He is a God that loves us. He is a God that does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He was telling the children of Israel here, listen, I want to do good for you. I've got a good plan for you. Hey man, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of your enemies. I'll take care of all your problems. If you'll just look to me, you ain't got to worry. But he said, if you walk not in my ways, then that's where that godly fear comes into play. Can I say today we're living in a world today there is no fear of God? Honey, why do you think, hey man, things are going on in America today? Hey man, Brother Perry has done made mention. Why do you think, hey man, our political leaders, hey man, in places like New York City and Virginia are passing through legislation, laws to abort, hey man, little babies right even to the point, hey man, of birth. Why do you think, hey, it's because they have no fear of God. They have no fear of judgment. They have no fear of what God may do. Can I say it is that fear of God that leads us to walk in the right way and the right manner? That is what God was trying to get the Israelites to understand. One of the things you need to understand, you need to learn what it is to fear me. Hey man, fear. Hey man, the consequences if you disobey. Hey man, those things that are right for you. And hey man, I like what God told. Children of Israel say, I know the thoughts that I have for you, the plans that I have for you. They are for good. They are for your better. They are to do what's right for you. That there may be peace in your life. Those plans that I have for you are good plans. If you'll walk in those plans, you'll walk in that way. But he said, if you don't, he said, I'll give you to the heathens. I'll let those come against you. And I'll fight against you. In other words, you'll find out that that's exactly what God allowed to happen. Allowed the Babylonians to come in and overthrow, amen, Jerusalem, tear down the temple. I take the children of Israel in captivity for 70 years. Amen. Why? Because they disobeyed God. Can I say today, glad that God we serve is a God that loves us. He loves us to the point. Now people may not understand. There's a such thing as, hey man, our tough love. Yeah. Hey man, it ain't easy to correct your children. Right. I didn't like to have to whoop my kids. I did not do it. But because the love that I had for them, it allowed me, or it drove me, maybe that's not the right word, but it inspired me to do what I had to do, even though I didn't want to. Why? Because I knew it was that love, that correction that comes into my love for them, that would allow them to do the right thing and walk in the right ways, in the right manners. It's not easy, to correct our children, but yet it is the love that we have for them, and we want to see what's right for them. To allow us to do what even we don't want to do sometimes, Brother Ed. You see, it is that same reverential fear. It is that same difference. It is that fear of God that bestows, that bursts wisdom. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 10, the Word of God says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. It is that fear of the Lord, how that bursts the wisdom in our heart, how to walk, how to do what God wants us to do. Not only the fear of the Lord that bursts wisdom, it is the fear of the Lord that bestows worship. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible tells us there in that scripture there. See, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, let me see if I can find it right quick. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Also in Ecclesiastes chapter verse 12 and verse number 13, how the Bible tells us there, what is it that we need to do? It is simply to walk in the way that God have us to walk. The whole duty of man is to love and fear God and walk in His commandments. Preacher, what are you saying? Simply saying it is the fear of God that allows us to do the things we need to do that bring God and glory upon the name of God. Can I say also it is the fear of God that bursts wisdom and bestows worship, but that also brings willingness. Psalm 34 verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. I like that verse. Oh, fearing. Why? Because there is no want. There is nothing that God won't do for us. There is nothing no battle that God won't fight for us. There is no mind that's too big for God. He is a God that's done all things with whom all things are possible. He said, walk in His way. And what allows us to walk in that way, that fear, that reverential fear, and the knowledge of knowing that He loves us and cares for us. Not only do we see the first thing, the major requirement that Christ gave to the children of Israel was that, to fear the Lord, but it was also the second thing, to walk in all His ways. It is that character to display. It is my desire that you walk in my ways. Jesus said there, God's Lord said one part of the Old Testament, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Behold, my ways are far past your finding out. You can't even begin to imagine the ways I have planned for you. But He said, the ways that I have for you are good ways. They are ways of life and holiness. If we'll walk in those ways in that manner, we can live a blessed and a happy life. You see, it is that character, we need to walk in all His ways. No, that character or that decorum simply means protocol or the thing to do or that good form or the way that we need to walk. Show our love for Him. We need to walk in His wisdom. We need to walk in His will. Glad what He knows about you and me and the way and that path that we preached the other day, that path that He's chosen for each and every one of us, that path is that way of salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad, thank God, the way we can walk in His way this simply by acknowledging the Son that He gave for us, that most precious gift that He gave to us. Born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died of course of Calvary, shed His blood for remission of sin, was buried, but thank God, rose again the third day. Thank God, I'm glad He is that way of salvation. God said, we've got to walk in. If we're going to escape place, if we're going to escape hell, make heaven our home, we got to walk in that path. Walk in the way that He provided for us. Honey, folks tell you, well, preacher, if I do good and I live right, I don't cuss and I don't rain, I'll be all right. No, sir. Can I say there's none that doeth good? There's none that goes about doing good. The Bible said we're all our righteous, filthy rags. If we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God,
the only way that we can make it to heaven is by walking in the way of God, or walking the way of His precious Son that He provided for us, that way of salvation. That is the only way. Can I say that is what God requires of us? Amen. If we're going to receive the blessings of God upon our life, we're going to have to trust in His precious Word. We're going to walk after, we want the blessings of God upon us. We're going to have to walk in obedience, having it through His precious Word. If I want to stay on the good side of Daddy, amen, Mama too, amen, she can whoop too. Amen, Daddy and Mama, honey, I had to do what they told me to do. Amen, if I walk in those ways, amen, do that that they told me to do, honey, I could be on the good side of them. And they would spare nothing within their material opportunity. Brother Jimmy, to help me, even to do things for me that I needed in my life. You ask Brother Jimmy some stories, I tell you, he'll tell you they're true. Amen. He got part of it too. Amen. Amen. That's the time. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. He knew what it was about. That's what we need to understand. It is that fear. It is that commandment to walk in a way that God was telling the Israelites, listen, amen, here's what I require of you. Amen, to fear me. Have that reverential fear that will inspire you to walk in the way that I want for you. Not only we see that fear of God, walking all His way, but there's a third thing. It says this, and to love Him. I like that. Oh, we see, amen, that we see that compassion to devotion. It is my desire that you love me. Honey, can I say, we preached about it, you've already heard about it. Amen, already through Brother Perry, amen, a broadcast, a message. Amen, one thing I feel like is missing in the churches. One thing I feel like, amen, the Israelites fell in from time to time, it was the love that they had for God. It went cold from time to time. And when that love for God went cold, they found themselves disobeying God and not walking the commandments of God and having to suffer the judgment of God. You see, that's why the Lord's trying to tell the Israelites, it is important that you love me. You see, it is love that will inspire us to do what's pleasing to the one that shows that love to us. It is that love for that individual. I may mention the broadcast this morning. It is the love between a husband and a wife. It is a love between a boyfriend and girlfriend before they get married. Amen. It teaches them to be faithful. Amen. And to do what they can. Amen. To please each other in the right manner, the right way. It is that love. When a husband and wife are together, that will allow them to stay together. When they begin to continue to stay in love with each other. Amen. They will not step out of a real bound. They will not do anything that will jeopardize their relationship. Is that love, amen, will conspire them to stay together and do for one another what needs to be done. But one thing, as I made mention this morning, when love begins to grow cold in a relationship, you'll find each other doing things that ordinarily would not do. Why? Because that love has grown cold. You see, that's what God is trying to tell the Israelites. Listen, it is important that you love me. It is important that you love me with all your soul and all your power. It is important. Amen. The Lord, amen, the lawyer come to Jesus one time and said, Lord, what is the first and great commandment? Jesus said, the first and great commandment is this, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy whole heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. But if we can learn to love God in that manner, as I said earlier, amen, we wouldn't have to worry about, amen, this one against that one. Somebody get mad over here because somebody said something over here. It is the love for God that will allow us to love each other in the way that we need to, and not allow things that don't matter and be a hindrance in our lives and our relationships. You see, you show me a church, hey man, there are divisions in those churches between Christians, and I'll show you love, a church that their love is growing cold. It is a love that has gone cold. That's why he was He was telling the children of Israel, here's the listen. It is important that you fear me. It is important, hey man, that you walk in my way. It is important that you love me. It is that love for the Lord that would allow them to walk in the way that God wanted him to walk. And I ask you the question, how's our love for God? Hey man, we found our love for him growing cold to the point. Hey man, that really don't bother you. Like Brother Perry, hey man, said in devotion, and boy, that broke my heart too. Hey man, got to thinking about it, and boy, the reaction that I had to what happened in Virginia, New York City, didn't bother me the way it should have bothered me. Why? Because I feel like sometimes our love grows cold. And that's what the Lord was trying to get understand, the children of Israel to understand. He's what I require of you because it is that love that you have for me. Hey, amen. That will keep you. Hey, amen. To what I want you to do. I keep you in that relationship that I desire of you. It is that love that will inquire, that will inspire you to love me and be obedient to me. Not only that love, but there's a fourth thing. Preacher, what is that? Like, look what it said. Fear thy God to walk in all his way and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now I want you to understand something, church. God had chosen the Israelites for his people. And God had these requirements for them that he might set them apart. That ere all the heathen nations that looked at the children of Israel would know that there's something different about that bunch. They ain't like all the heathen. They don't walk in the wickedness and evil of the world. They do what's pleasing in the eyes of God. And can I say today, help us as Christians understand the fact it is important. Amen. We realize that we are different from the world. That we ought to act different. We ought to live different. We ought to walk different. We ought to talk different. Why? Because we are different. And if we've been saved by the grace of God, there ought to be a desire in our heart to walk in the ways of God. Can I say this? If we ain't got no desire to walk in the ways of God, it don't bother us to, hey man, say words we don't need to say. Hey man, just act out in the way we don't need to act. If it don't bother us one little bit, honey, we better get saved. And we ain't been saved. It's just that simple. Why? If we've truly been saved by the grace of God, those things that are used to be easy for us before we got saved, honey, they'll bother us now. It'll bother you when there's a word slip that you shouldn't slip. It'll bother you, amen, when you act in a manner in a way that you don't shouldn't act. It'll bother you maybe when say something toward your spouse. Hey, man, out of anger. Hey, man, when you get mad, say something you shouldn't say, honey. It'll bother you. Go ahead and nod your head. It's true. It don't bother you if something's wrong. It don't bother you, you need to check up to see if you've truly been saved by the grace of God. If it don't bother us, hey man, if we've truly been saved by the grace of God, hey man, it don't bother us. Hey man, when sin comes into our life, it don't bother us. When things, hey man, begin to come into our mind and our heart that don't need to be, it don't bother us. That is the way we know that we are God's. That's what he's trying to tell the children. Here's something you need to do. It is my desire. It is my requirement that you walk in the way that I have for you with everything that you've got. Every effort, every strength, every power. Amen. To be able to walk in the way that I want for you. Amen. Because that is what I desire and require of you. It ought to be a blessing. Let me say this, Christian. Now see, here I've heard this statement made. Boy, it's hard to live a Christian life. And I can understand some respects of that. But people use it in the wrong way. They take it out of context. Sure, we walk through difficult times. Sure, we walk through valleys and trials in our life. Honey, can I say it ought to be a joy and a privilege to serve God.
It shouldn't be a hindrance. It shouldn't be a hard thing to serve God. Hey, it ought to be a privilege. It ought to be a pleasure. You look at the Apostle Paul, what he went through. Sure, he went through hard times, but it wasn't hard to serve God, amen. And we may go through hard times and hard circumstances in our lives. The devil may give us a fit from time to time, but honey, can I say with the power of God, the strength of God, amen, it ain't hard to serve God. It's easy. How about Joe? By simply fearing God. By loving Him. Amen. By giving ourselves unto Him. Amen. To walk in the way that He would have us to walk day by day. The Bible tells us over there the one part it is, amen, that it is that love that we have for Him that inspires us to walk in that holy manner before God in the way that He'd have us to. Only in all that, but just the last thing. He said that you might fear Him. The last thing He said here was simply this. Amen. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. That commitment He wanted them to display was simply this. To walk and do what He commanded them to do. I've already said the plans that God had for the children of Israel were to show them blessings. To make them fruitful. Amen. To make them stand out and show to the world and to the nation that this was a bunch of folks that had been called out. Amen. By the hand of God was upon, and that God would bless in each and every manner, in each and every way. He said, if you'll do those things. If you'll look, the commandment that He gave to Moses, the commandment He gave to Joshua. If you'll look to these things I command you to do, if you'll walk in them, everything will be all right. But if you don't, then you're going to have to suffer the consequences. Can I say, Jesus says, God has made a way through His precious Son to escape a place called hell. He's made a way for you and I, amen, to escape the judgment of a holy God upon an evil and a wicked generation. Honey, can I say this? You look at what's going on in America today. You look at what we just, the two events that just been described. Hey man, what happened in New York City and what's happened in Virginia. Hey man, what's going on there? Not only that, but other places. You look at that immorality that's running rampant throughout our land, even in our communities. Hey man, you tell me we ain't living in a wicked and evil generation. Hey man, just as soon as I come up to you with a gun and blow your brains out, and they had to look at you. Hey man, to take things from you without even thinking nothing. We're living in a wicked and evil generation. That calls evil good and good evil. We're living in that time. Can I say, it's already been made mention this morning, judgment's come upon the evil and wicked generation. Why? Because they choose not. They choose not, amen, to walk in the way of God. They choose not, amen, to accept the way of escape called the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me use this example and I'll close. It's just this simple. Brother Thomas, I know, spent some time in the fire department, the volunteer fire department. Amen. And of course, Brother, many others, maybe in this room, have been there too. Brother Brian, he's been on police force. He knows a little bit about what I'm talking about. You take a fireman and his job is to risk their life. Amen. To go into a burning building sometimes. Amen, to make a way to rescue those that are in that burning building. But as that fireman goes into that burning building, and he finds that individual, and he said, come on, I think to lead you to safety. And honey, and they can say, no, sir, I'm standing right where I'm at. I'm good. I take care of myself. Hey, man, they can plead with that individual. Come on, you don't understand. Hey, man, I got to get you out of here. You're going to die here. Hey, man, this thing's going to engulf you. You can't do it by yourself. Hey, man, I'm here to bring you to safety. That individual refuses to accept the help of that fireman. Amen. With a saddened heart, that fireman has to back off while that whole building collapses upon that individual. Why? Because they choose to say no to the escape that was provided for them. That's the same way we have salvation. Amen. Jesus went into the burning pit of hell. Thank God you said, preacher, what are you talking about? He suffered all the agony. He suffered all the hard. The Bible said He went into depths of the heart of the earth. Amen. To preach repentance to those that were held captive. Thank God He went into the paradise side of hell to bring those that were captive out. Amen. Why to escape? that place called hell. Jesus said, come on. Same thing Jesus is saying to you today. Come on. Hey, man, this world is fixed to face the judgment of God because of their wickedness. You don't have to face that judgment. You don't have to suffer that same consequence. All you got to do, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is simply saying this morning, come on. Hey, man, the building around you, this world fixing to burn. This world, hey, man, fixing to be destroyed. You need to come out while you've got the opportunity. All you've got to do is come on. But if you say no, ain't God's fault. Heard folks make this statement. I just don't believe God's going to send nobody to hell. God ain't sending nobody to hell. God has made every way possible to keep you out of hell. When a person goes to hell, they go of their own merits. They go because they refuse to accept the way of salvation. They simply say, no, I will not accept the way out. Can I say Jesus is that way out today? Please, I beg you. Child of God, are we doing what is required of us? If we have a reverential fear about God that, amen, encourages us to walk in holiness, to walk in consecration, amen, to walk in a way that would bring honor and name upon the glory of God. Like what? There was an old Swiss hermit made this statement in our close. He said this, O Lord, take from me what keeps me from Thee. Give me what brings me to Thee, and take myself, and give me Thyself. You see, that's what God wants of us, you and I. Simply, just like a preacher, lady went to the preacher one time and said, preacher, I want you to explain to me what consecration means. Amen, in one word. Preacher, thinking about it for a minute, handed her a blank sheet of paper, simply like this. Signing your name on a blank sheet of paper, letting God fill out the rest of it. That's what God wants of you and I. Simply to give ourselves wholly unto Him. Why? Because God knows the pitfalls that are in our future. We don't. God knows the dangers. God knows those struggles. God knows everything that may be in our future, but we don't. We'll just hand God our life. So here I am, Lord. You know better than me what I need for my life. God, I want to follow Your will. Can I say, if we'll do that, we'll find our life a whole lot better. We'll find our way a whole lot smoother. Sure, we'll still have bumps. Sure, we'll still have valleys. Sure, we'll still have storms. But in the midst of those valleys, in the midst of those storms, there'll be a strength on the inside. That inner peace, that inner knowing that everything's going to be all right because we belong to Him. We're walking the way that He wants us to walk. Oh, can I say, what doeth the Lord require thee? Every head bowed, that's the message.